This morning we'll be looking at Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 3, sections 6 to 8. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning on your day, and we thank you for giving us this additional opportunity to study who you are and what you've done. We thank you, Father, for giving us the strength to be here and the time to be here. We ask that as we consider your decrees and your plans, that we would learn more about you and find greater hope and comfort by the power of your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at chapter 3, sections 6 to 8. Let me read those now. As God has appointed the elect unto glory, so hath he, by the eternal and most free purpose of his will, foreordained all the means thereunto. Wherefore, they who are elected, being fallen in Adam, are redeemed by Christ, are effectually called unto faith in Christ, by his Spirit working in due season, are justified, adopted, sanctified, and kept by his power through faith unto salvation. Neither are any other redeemed by Christ, effectually called, justified, adopted, sanctified, and saved, but the elect only. The rest of mankind God was pleased, according to the unsearchable counsel of his own will, whereby he extendeth or withholdeth mercy as he pleaseth, for the glory of his sovereign power over his creatures, to pass by, and to ordain them to dishonor and wrath for their sin, to the praise of his glorious justice. The doctrine of this high mystery of predestination is to be handled with special prudence and care, that men attending the will of God revealed in his word and yielding obedience thereunto may, from the certainty of their effectual vocation, be assured of their eternal election. So shall this doctrine afford matter of praise, reverence and admiration of God, and of humility, diligence, and abundant consolation to all that sincerely obey the gospel. The opening sentence of section 6 sets out to tell us two things. First, God has a people, the elect, and he is determined that they will be glorified. He has appointed the elect unto glory. Second, God has not only appointed that his elect will meet him in glory, but by the eternal and most free purpose of his will, he has also appointed the way in which his chosen ones will come to heaven. When God appoints the elect to glory, both ends and means are important. It's not enough to believe that the elect will have eternal life. We must also know the way in which that we're to arrive in eternity. It doesn't matter how you came here this morning. There are many ways to Cambridge Presbyterian Church. But it matters a great deal how we come to heaven, for there's only one way to glory, and it's a way that God appointed. In the remainder of this paragraph, we're given a preview of the way in which God brings his elect to glory, the means of redemption, which we find more fully retold in chapters 6 to 17 of this confession. In this story of redemption, there are two people that feature most prominently. The first is Adam, in whom we have horribly fallen, both the elect and the non-elect. The second is Christ, in whom God's elect are wonderfully redeemed. In fact, it's by Christ and in Christ, as you can see from this section, that all blessings flow. This is important to understand. We were not redeemed in eternity when God chose us. We were redeemed in time and space by our Lord Jesus Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. It's he who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, as Paul once told Titus. But even then, we have no hope of salvation so long as we are outside of Christ. And for this reason, we are effectually called to Christ by his Spirit, who always works in due season. Of course, this calling must be effectual. This is a divine call. It cannot be ineffectual. It's worked by Christ's Spirit. It's not us working faith in ourselves. It's the Spirit who works faith in us. And it's through Spirit-worked faith that we are justified in Christ and sanctified in Christ. In fact, we're kept by the Holy Spirit and kept by His power through faith unto salvation. This is the glorious gospel which was revealed to us in God's Word. For are we not told in Romans that it is God who justifies? And did not Peter write that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit? And is it not true that God has predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of His will? This is good news. Good news for those who are truly fallen in Adam. Because God has ordained every step of our salvation, we can have that blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It's because God has given us a Savior who gives us His Spirit, who gives us the gift of saving faith, that we can have the hope and confidence that we will be kept by His power unto salvation. This is good news. But we need to be clear that neither are any other redeemed by Christ effectually called, justified, adopted, and sanctified, but the elect only. Thus we have the solemn thought recorded in section 7. Whereas God elected some to the praise of His glorious grace, as Ephesians says, He was pleased to do something different with the rest of mankind. But even before being told what is planned for the rest of mankind, we are reminded that this is what God decided to do. And just in case it's not obvious to everyone that God does what He alone pleases, we're also reminded that this act of choosing some and not others is according to the unsearchable counsel of His own will. Some see this as a version of theological megalomania, but it's simply the teaching of Scripture. As Paul makes so clear in Romans 9, whether persons or whole nations are in view, God extendeth or withholdeth mercy as He pleaseth, for the glory of His sovereign power over His creatures. It's His choice to save some sinners and to pass by others, actually to ordain them to dishonor and wrath for their sin, to the praise of His glorious justice. As the final section of this chapter reminds us, this is a high mystery, and it needs to be handled with special prudence and care. Both shepherds and sheep need to remember that God has revealed this doctrine of election primarily to teach us about Himself. It's our task as men and women and children to attend to the will of God revealed in His Word. After all, as Deuteronomy 29:29 states, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children. If you would like to make your calling and election sure, as Peter urges you to do, then trust in Jesus Christ. Yield obedience to His Word. Remember again that you did not call yourself to salvation, but God effectually called you. Consider how God did not merely make salvation a possibility for all people, as our Arminian brethren teach, but a reality for His chosen people, as our Reformed fathers have taught. That is to say, God did not build a wide bridge partway to heaven. He built a secure bridge all the way to heaven in Jesus Christ. So this morning, let us bless God that all those whom He predestinated, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. Then, as this confession states, this doctrine will afford matter of praise and reverence and admiration of God, and of humility, diligence, and abundant consolation to all that sincerely obey the gospel. Let us pray. our Father in heaven, how good and gracious you are in choosing some. All of us were dead in our sin. All of us lived in rebellion against you. None of us deserved your mercy. And yet from all eternity you chose some in Christ. We pray, Father, that all whom you have called will come to you, that you will use the preaching of your word, the evangelism of ministers and missionaries, the kindness and love of Christians and the words that they speak to draw your sheep to the great shepherd. We pray that you would do this by your powerful, holy, and irresistible Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.